Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
We'll start this evening with the HSE, because the HSE is looking at reducing the gap between AstraZeneca doses from 12 weeks to 8 weeks, but they will not mix vaccines to speed up the delivery of second jabs. Those were some of the takeaways from today's briefing by the HSE, which also gave a progress report on how the cyber attack situation was being progressed. Fergal Keane has been watching and he has all the details. He joins me now. Fergal, the vaccine delivery is on target. And the take-up is good, they say.
Yeah, it was an uncharacteristic upbeat assessment from the HSE this afternoon, with news today that there are just 84 people in hospital with COVID-19 and 30 in ICU. We've been told that this is the effect of the vaccination programme. But I'll start off by mentioning the possible reduction of the gap between AstraZeneca jabs. We were told that a decision on whether or not it would come down to 8 weeks from 12 would be taken within a matter of days. Now, that's already happened in the UK. There is an optimistic expectation that it is going to happen here. But we are told we are still working towards reducing the gap, the original gap, from 16 weeks to 12, which was advised on a couple of weeks ago. But there is an expectation that that gap will be brought down to 8 weeks because of this new Delta variant. Now, one thing, though, they're not going to do is to use the Pfizer vaccine as a second jab for AstraZeneca if the AstraZeneca doses run low. When asked about that today, they said the advice from NIAC was to proceed as they were and not to mix vaccines. But as for the rollout, the HSE chief executive, Paul Reid, he gave a very upbeat assessment on the figures of the rollout and the uptake.
We now have almost 2.9 million vaccines administered in total as of yesterday evening. Over 2 million of these are now with people who have had their first dose of the vaccination, which is about 53% of the adult population. And almost 900,000 have received their second dose, which is about 25% of the population. Last week, we administered just approximately 300,000 vaccines in total. This week, we plan to administer somewhere between 280 and 300,000 for this week. What we are doing for this week, as part of the weekend coming ahead, is pulling forward some of the big deliveries from Pfizer into this weekend. So for next week, it'll be currently about 250 to 270K. That's next week coming. Continued strong update on the vaccination. We gave you a quick headline on this last week, and it remains quite strong, with over almost 99% for those over 80 years of age uptake of the population, 95% of those in the age bracket 70 to 79, and over 90% in those in the age bracket 60 to 69. And there's no doubt that the uptake in Ireland benchmarks extremely high and is the envy of many countries.
And that's Paul Reid of the HSE. We're now calling it the Delta variant, Fergal, the one which originated in India. But there was an update on where we're at in terms of that variant today.
As we know, it's a cause of huge concern, particularly in the way it's affected the easing of restrictions in the UK. And in the UK, it now accounts for 75% of all cases, and that within a matter of weeks. Colm Henry spoke about this today, and the way he put it was that in the UK, the Delta variant had pushed all other versions of the disease out of bed, and that it was causing a high level of hospitalizations among those who hadn't been vaccinated. But he gave details of the occurrence of the Delta variant here, but he also said that the damaging effects of COVID-19 were actually collapsing in Ireland.
Touching on the illness now, we've seen for several months now this remarkable stability in the 14-day instance and 5-day moving average. The one thing that has changed, as I said in previous weeks, is the harm done by the virus is falling considerably. And that's because while the numbers of cases remain very, very steady, it's the harm it's doing is collapsing among those vaccinated groups. So looking at Indian or the last variant, which is the Delta, I should say now. This is from Public Health England. Latest weekly variant cases show that cases have risen by 3,500 since the previous week. In some affected areas, hospitalisation is rising. Hospital attendance and admissions are predominantly in unvaccinated individuals. And evidence also shows that this variant, the Delta variant, is likely to be more transmissible. Now, we have not seen that kind of, although we've seen a rise in cases here yet, the B117, which remains the predominant 95-96% of all cases. No sign of that being displaced outwards by this Delta variant. That's what happened in the UK, is they saw the B17 pushed out of bed to make room for this Delta variant, which is now becoming more and more dominant. That doesn't, while we've seen a rise in cases here, we haven't seen it the same surge and same displacement effect.
And that is Colm Henry. What about the cyber attack, Fergal? Did they mention that? Because we're also dealing with the, or they are, I should say, in the HSE and the health service, dealing with the effects of the cyber attack affecting all operations.
It is, yeah, and it's still very, very serious, and significant delays across all services due to that. Or we are being told by the chief operations officer at the HSE, Anne O'Connor. She said it was going to take months to repair. In some areas, just 25% of services had been fixed or could be decrypted. Now, she said that many things at the moment were still being done, records were being kept in writing, and that there was a risk of higher level of clinical errors as a result. In many areas, clinics and labs couldn't communicate with units outside of their own hospital, and it would take until next week before any normalised contact between GPs and labs was restored. So, for example, blood samples are taking five times longer than normal. There's no new radiotherapy treatment has begun the last 3 weeks, and no oncology imaging, as she put it, has taken place. Now, Anne O'Connor, by way of illustration, she gave figures for the recovery of laptops used by HSE staff, which have grown in number since people were being asked to work from home.
Just as of this morning, when we look at where the decryption is going, the devices that we have, so as Paul said, we have nearly 5,000 servers, so the decryption is up to, I think now it's probably closer to 25% this morning in terms of fully decrypted. Our servers, 114 queued waiting for decryption this morning. And in terms of our end user devices, we're at about 50%. And that is where people have had to bring their laptops or device into a HSE facility to be, in effect, plugged into our network. We also now have 38 device cleansing locations operational out of a planned 51. And this is for people who are working anywhere in the country who need to go in. And we have to remember that prior to this, we have spent the last 14 months supporting people to work remotely. So ensuring that people in the COVID time could work in all sorts of different roles at home. So that has actually added to the complexity of this now, because we have many people who've been working from home with, you know, MiFis, Wi-Fis, different things, and they have been more impacted because our internet connection has not really come back. So that again is a priority for us.
And that's Anne O'Connor of the HSE a short time ago at that briefing, and my thanks to Fergal Keane for that report. We're going to stay now with this story. Today there have been 103 new cases of COVID-19 in Limerick, and the city has seen a massive rise in the past 2 weeks with an increase of more than 800 cases, the vast majority of which have been associated with indoor gatherings, house parties, household visits and family gatherings. I'm joined by Dr. May Mannix, who's Director of Public Health for the HSE Midwest. Dr. Mannix, you're very welcome to the programme. I was watching and reading some of your presentation yesterday, and it's been touched on again today. Can you tell us a little bit about the increase in Limerick and the latest figures? How concerned are you there about what's happening?
Okay, thanks, Cormac. Yes, just to say, I suppose you mentioned in your intro there about Limerick City, but it's actually across the city and county, just to be clear about that.
Okay, yeah.
And you're quite correct. We had 103 new cases yesterday, which is a very high number. We are concerned, obviously. We have the highest rate in the country at the moment. We've had close to 900 cases in the past 2.5 weeks. And as you said, the vast majority were driven by the indoor gatherings, house parties, visits, family gatherings, and in an unsafe way, which led to quite a sharp rise in numbers.
And you gave some examples yesterday, and you might give me one. Do you remember the one about the school you gave and how these cases still, in a way, how could we not know at this stage how they rise exponentially and how they transmit from one person to a group very quickly? Do you recall the example you gave from the school? You might give it again here.
Yes, certainly. So in this instance, it was a similar situation where we had a number of parties and birthday parties occurring in the students, and also mixing, the normal mixing where children meet each other and so on outside of the school setting. On top of that, you have the children doing a lot of different sports, sometimes three or four different sports, on the transport to the school. So there was all of those factors which then resulted in a high number of cases in the school. And that's what often happens, where there are the factors outside the school, then it's almost like a pressure cooker effect within the school setting. So then this was at least well over 30 cases within the school setting. That resulted then in at least 150 kind of household close contacts. That led to further cases in family households across numerous parishes, across the county borders, impacted close contacts linked to over a dozen workplaces, healthcare settings, and at other schools, and a number of sports teams in the region. So,
wow. So from one school, you have dozens of places, workplaces, and homes affected.
And the
sports, you mentioned sports in that school. I mean, people, and we had this discussion right throughout the week, given the scenes last weekend that shocked the chief medical officer. Did that occur? Did the transmission of 30 cases occur in an outdoor sports setting, or was it the transport to and from those?
It's a combination of things, I suppose, Cormac, but as you know, the transmission outdoors is very rare, really, but it can occur, obviously, if people aren't careful. So the key message is that when you're outdoors, it's much less risk, but you still need to be sort of wearing your mask and keeping your distance. And in fairness, most of the sports have themselves very well organised in pods and everything like that.
We also have there's a salutary lesson as well in what you say, because an awful lot of people are thinking about going back to work indoors in their offices. But you have examples in Limerick of where that can go wrong.
We have, Cormac, and we have a lot of workplace outbreaks at the moment, to be honest, and it's all related to what's going on here at the minute. And I think it's the key message, I would say, for workplaces. And firstly, I want to acknowledge all the work that all the various work settings have put in fairness, throughout the past year. They've gone to enormous lengths. And again, we encourage people who can to please work from home while they can, really. But it's very important to get all the simple things right. And it's important that people wear masks very consistently, that they're not taking them on and off, because we find that, people taking them off of their desk, that doesn't really work. You just need to be wearing them. Not enough to be socially distanced. You need to have your mask on. You also need to be having adequate ventilation and, a strong kind of COVID policy and culture in the workplace. All of those things need to be in place. It's really doing the simple things well and being very consistent about it.
I know you're concerned as well, and all of the authorities are concerned about the Leaving Cert and indoor congregation of the Leaving Cert, which starts next week. But I wonder, are people confused, May, about the messaging at the moment? We heard even at the briefing today that the harm done by the virus now is falling considerably because of vaccination. We're hearing that case numbers are stable. I wonder, is it the case in Limerick that young people who are unvaccinated, because we know that older people and people with underlying conditions predominantly are vaccinated, so are young people saying, look, I'll take the risk? Is that what's happening?
I think it probably is, Cormac, to a degree, and to be fair, that's exactly in terms of the cases that we are seeing. It's all the younger and unvaccinated groups, from the 40s downwards. And I agree, thankfully, because our older and high-risk groups have been vaccinated. Thankfully, they are protected much more so, obviously, than earlier in the pandemic. However, having said that, if The problem is that we've seen in other countries, if you get large numbers of young people, some of them will still have bad outcomes, you know. Mm-hmm. And I suppose in the first, when we got the original spike here about 2 weeks ago, the hospital numbers went up from 2 to 14 very quickly. And a couple of them, you know, were parents of young children. Thankfully, everybody's doing okay. But, you know, you still don't want to take that risk,
no,
really, of people getting very, very ill.
Even if you're fit and healthy, we know from cases so far that we don't know how it's going to impact from one person to the next. That's what doctors like yourself have been telling us. We'll leave it there for the moment. Dr. May Mannix, Director of Public Health with HSE Midwest, thank you very much indeed for that update from Limerick. We'll take a quick break.